This is Pastor Jeff Chavis, the pastor of Church Online, an online community of faith that you could find at churchonline.com, but we spell that differently. We spell it C-H-R-C-H because we say all that's missing is you. churchonline.com. Well, it is Good Friday. It is that time that we've set aside on the calendar. Of course, the one before Resurrection Sunday, the Friday before, is when we remember the cross. We remember all that Jesus went through on that day. It's a dark day, and it's strange that we call it Good Friday, but of course, it is because it is on that cross that our sins were bought and paid for, our guilt and shame taken away. So it is indeed a Good Friday. Now, I want to take us to the story, of course, but I want to take us to one that maybe we don't hear as often. This is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. And the reason why we don't is there's some interesting little parts to this one that are different than any of the other Gospel writers. Remember, each of the Gospel writers had their own unique take on the events, especially the events surrounding Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Matthew is a Jew writing to a Jewish audience. Yes, Matthew was the tax collector, but the voice and the tone of his gospel sounds so much like quotes from the Old Testament and these images and these pictures that we see that connect us with the Old Testament. So again, a very Jewish look at the life of Jesus. He also has in this passage, again, Matthew 27, we'll start in verse 50. This is where we hear some supernatural events that took place that are different than the other gospel writers. Let me go there. It starts out at that ending place. Imagine Jesus is on the cross. He's been there the whole time, 6 hours now on the cross. And it says, Matthew 27, 50, and Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked, and rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the grave after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Now pause there. Matthew's gospel gives us the earthquake and then that strange little notation about how graves were opened up and people walked the streets of Jerusalem who were previously dead. But there it is in the middle of our scripture. So how do we understand it? Well, first, let's kind of break down the story. Of course, it starts out as all the gospel writers do. There's that one moment where Jesus breathes his last, hanging there on the cross in agony. Most scholars will tell us that what a person dies from on a cross is asphyxiation. They can no longer take a breath anymore. The weight of their body on the cross just pulling across their chest, and Jesus cries out. The other gospel writers say it is that word, it is finished. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Those words that Jesus said from the cross. But then the temple, the veil of the temple torn in two. Mark also tells us about that. That's not the part that's significant. It's this part where it says, then the earth quaked and the rocks were split. Imagine that moment, this supernatural occurrence. And we ask, well, why would Matthew want us to see that? Well, if this is a Jew writing to a Jewish audience, we have to think about other times where we hear about the earth quaking. One of those at Mount Sinai as Moses is receiving the law. And this is Exodus chapter 19, verse 18. Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. That same word, that same phrase. There's an earthquake at the giving of the law. But another one, and this may be more closely related. This is that story in Numbers, the nation of Israel walking in the wilderness. Korah and his followers rebelled against Moses. And then Moses warned him, and God warned him, but In Numbers chapter 16, I'll read this one to you. Numbers 16, verses 31 through 33. It gives us, again, another picture of a supernatural occurrence. Again, it may connect the dots here. And I'm having a little trouble with my electronics right now. There it is. Okay. Numbers chapter 16, verse 31, and I can't get my electronic Bible to go there. So just tell you the story. This is when there was an earthquake. The earth opened up and swallowed Korah and his followers on that day. Can you picture that? Now think about that. That is really the reverse of what we're seeing here in Matthew's gospel. There was an earthquake, and instead of swallowing people, taking them down to the grave, you could say, in this case, graves were opened and people came out alive. So somebody reading the Old Testament, a Jew, and then hearing these words of Matthew would connect the dots and go, oh, this is the reverse of what Korah and his followers suffered. This is a new thing. But the earthquake also speaks of the mighty power of God. So you would say, as we know the gospel writers tell us, that there were people who questioned the whole story. Oh, they stole the body of Jesus, and that's the story that exists surrounding the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Matthew knows that these things are going to be in question, probably even as we see in our day and age. People question whether or not Jesus actually died, or maybe he was just unconscious and it appeared that he was dead. But this event, these supernatural things, Matthew wants us to get that picture. This was no ordinary death. When Jesus died, that death on the cross, when he cried out, "It is finished," that the earth quaked, tombs opened up. This was no ordinary event. This was the power of God, even as in his death. And the result, and this is why I kept going in 54, when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly this was the Son of God." This, that phrase, that's the result. That's the result of Good Friday. That's the result of the death of Jesus. Individuals, now think, he's a centurion, which means he's seen battle. He's seen death. He's been surrounded by that most of his military career, we can imagine. So he understood. And when a person dies in this way, his reaction is, there's something different going on here. Truly, this was the Son of God. So the death of Jesus, pointing us to the power of God, those supernatural events just helping to reinforce what we see in the Old Testament, what we have here in the New Testament. But ultimately, the goal is to get people's eyes to be opened that Jesus was indeed exactly who he said he was, the Son of God. So I just want you to reflect on that today as we think about this Good Friday. And yes, I know there's questions about what day of the week. Was it really Friday? Was it Thursday? That's not the point. The point of this day is to remember the cross. I don't think we can think about the cross, contemplate on its meaning. I don't think we can reflect on it enough. I think we need to do it much more frequently than we could, because we need to see those supernatural events, that God was in complete control over this whole situation. This was never out of his control. But ultimately, the cross is designed to show us who Jesus really was.